So we've talked about some of the more common mental health disorders and what it means to be healthy. And it becomes necessary to also talk about the most critical factor in health, stress. Stress management should be at the core of everyone's attempt to get healthy and remain healthy. Most of the mental health disorders we talked about are exacerbated by stress, and many physical ailments are caused or made worse by stress. And in our modern world, it is nearly impossible to live a life that is stress-free. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be spending the entire time talking about stress. What is it? What does it do? How does it affect you? And how can you manage it? Lessons from the Screen is back, presenting these facts with a little love being laid on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurt, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And I, welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PAX Inc., a Black activist, advocacy, and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, a culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. Leave a review, leave a comment, leave a donation, become a member, take a survey, use the Amazon Smile to make your Amazon purchases. Do whatever you can to help them because they're doing whatever they can to help you. And on this show, as stated earlier, we are going to be talking about stress. What is it? What does it do? How does it affect you? And how can you manage it? So stress is basically a shorthand way of talking about the way you respond to stressors. And then, of course, you should ask, well, what's a stressor? And a stressor is a stimuli that causes stress to an organism. So it's a weird circle. And that's not ideally the way you would want things defined, but that's the way they're defined. So we're going to break that down even further. Basically, a stressor is anything that causes a reaction, and the stress response is the way you respond to whatever it was that caused the reaction. Now, when we're talking about stress, we're typically talking about the way you respond to the various changes, both good and bad, that occur in your life. But we tend to focus on the bad stress because that is what causes so many problems. And this is both a physical and a psychological response, having both biological and behavioral implications. And this isn't a state limited to humans. All organisms have a stress response system. It's vital for survival. And we are taught about it in animals when we talk about the fight or flight response, which paints the picture of this kill or be killed scenario as being the only type of stress that's worth talking about. And a lot of people incorrectly assume that because we're not in life or death situations, we're not still experiencing fight or flight responses or stress responses in our everyday lives. And this couldn't be further from the truth. You see, this response was very necessary when we lived within nature and often competed with animals for resources and land. The need for a stress response that elevates blood circulation, increases adrenaline production, and narrows focus is wonderful when you are staring down a Tyrannosaurus Rex just charging at you at full speed, about to eat your face off. Maybe not a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but you get. However, in these modern times, we experience social, psychological, and financial problems that elicit the same response multiple times a day. And that is when things get dangerous. You see, in past times, life was filled with moments of tense activity separated by long periods of basically nothing. And during those periods of time of nothingness, when all the needs were met and there was time to literally do nothing, our bodies would repair and reset. Doing nothing was and remains just as important to healthy humans as activities that require exertion. However, nowadays, with doing nothing viewed as a universally bad thing, in most modern societies. People continue to push from one task to the next, frequently fretting over future outcomes and unresolved past experiences. Jobs become a 24-hour hassle, creating deadlines. Traffic is a stressor as people worry about getting to a location on time and almost always have somewhere else that they could be and something else that they could be doing. And not to mention the mere fact of being in traffic itself is stressful. People flipping out all over the place with road rage and all these other things. And then there are the financial concerns, lifestyle concerns, raising children, taking care of parents or other elders, illnesses, marriage or partnerships. Everything nowadays is stressful, and we seldom, if ever, take the time to truly do nothing. Because even when we aren't doing anything, we're still worried or thinking about what we could or should be doing. And for many of us, the method we choose to relax often creates additional stress. We watch a movie or a TV show, action movies to get our adrenaline flowing, or scary movies to scare the hell out of us. We browse social media, which creates all types of emotions in and of itself as you're watching other people live their best self. Playing video games creates a stressful environment, especially if you're struggling to be the boss, you're struggling to be the level, or you're playing a horror video game or an action video game or something like that. And even heated conversations. We are a society of adrenaline junkies. All of these things create psychological stress, which prompts levels of physical stress response. And this is largely because the brain still interprets these events on the subconscious level as real threats, even though you can rationally understand that they aren't. And with this, we have to understand the brain isn't a singular organ of oneness. It is different sections doing different things at different times. The brain stem, also known as the reptilian brain, which is called the reptilian brain because it is a brain that is looks like and has the same functions of the modern reptile. But it's basically the brain stem, and you know where the brain stem is. It's largely responsible for stress response, and we have no control over that area of our brain. The brain stem operates the autonomous nervous system. I don't even have that written down. I'm talking off of what I know, and I still can't get the words out. But anyways, the brainstem operates on the autonomous nerve system, and we don't have control over that nerve system. It's something that just happens. Also interesting is that the brainstem also plays a key role in the reward circuits, which opens up a whole other conversation on addiction. So when you experience a change in environment, situation, health, be it real or imaginary, that perception triggers a stress response in the brain that causes the release of cortisol and epinephrine. Now, amongst the other chemicals that are released and prepares you for fight or flight, these two are important. And overall, these hormones put you into a survival mode at the expense of everything else. Things that aren't necessary for survival get shut down. Cortisol itself is a pretty powerful hormone that influences the body in many different ways. One of the plus sides is it causes your body to be flooded with glucose so that your muscles have an immediate supply of energy. And it blocks insulin production so that the glucose is more likely to be used versus stored. It also narrows the arteries, which in conjunction with epinephrine, which is basically your body creating adrenaline. So in conjunction with that, which causes your heart to beat faster, causes your blood to pump harder and faster. Now, the system was designed so that you could use the extra energy and increase physical abilities and focus to deal with the threat, and then you rest and return to normal. However, nowadays, our bodies are, in some cases, continuously producing elevated levels of cortisol. Now, elevated levels of cortisol have been shown to exacerbate the effects of diabetes, which makes sense considering it increases the level of glucose while also making cells insulin resistant. However, it hasn't been shown to that stress can make someone diabetic. It can create blood sugar imbalances. Adding on to what I just said, elevated cortisol levels create cells that are starved for energy. They're starved for energy. This causes a chain reaction that results in you being hungry, which causes you to eat. And if you haven't actually utilized any energy, that excess food you consume becomes fat and you gain weight. Stress eating is a very common coping device, and we spoke last week about binge eating disorder. This craving for food also tends to be centered on sugary, fatty foods or the comfort foods. And this can lead to diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke, in addition to overall just making you overweight or obese. Now, prolonged cortisol levels above normal also suppress the immune system. The goal is to reduce inflammation, which is a good thing in a survival environment where you need full mobility, range of motion, and movement. But over a prolonged period of time, a suppressed immune system presents major problems, and chronic inflammation causes its own issues. Sometimes these things can show themselves as a form of newly developed food allergy, increase in sickness rates, and even the development of cancer. Now, when the body enters fight or flight mode, various systems also get shut down or have energy taken away from them. The digestive system is one of those systems. Digesting food while in fight or flight mode basically means that not only are the nutrients not going to be fully absorbed, but also means that the inflammation caused by a poor diet will go unchecked. And after a period of time, ulcers can develop amongst other things. And you can understand why this is necessary. You don't need to be getting ready to fight off a saber-toothed tiger and have your body devoting energy that could be utilized to keep you alive to digesting the rabbit you just ate. You don't want that going on. You also don't want to be getting ready to fight a saber-toothed tiger or maybe you're in some sort of weird Land Before Time. You're getting ready to fight a woolly mammoth, and all of a sudden you got a boo-boo. And while you're fighting, you're just shitting on yourself. Like, that's just not a good look. Now, you can shit on yourself before the fight or after the fight, but you don't want to shit on yourself during the fight. That's just not a good look, and it'll probably get you messed up. So, cortisol also constricts blood vessels and increases blood pressure to increase the availability of nutrients to muscles during stressful times. But this also has a long-term effect. You see, plaque buildup, and plaque is more likely to build up in restricted vessels because they're restricted. And vessel damage, which is created when you restrict vessels, but you also increase the force of the blood rolling through those vessels, you can create damage to the vessels themselves. But plaque buildup and vessel damage creates heart attacks. For men, this can also lead to erectile dysfunction. Yes, we all know those type A dudes who are always stressed out, quote unquote, high achievers, and their penis don't work. And in women, elevated cortisol levels can create problems in ovulation and menstrual cycles. Sex hormones are produced by the same glands as stress hormones, so there are potentially some issues with hormone production. And all of this is just the tip of the iceberg when thinking about what happens to the body when it's under prolonged stress response. Think about what would happen to a building and its tenants if the fire alarm was always on and the people were always in emergency mode. Eventually, the building would be torn apart by the tenants themselves if they couldn't get out. Your body is the building. Cortisol and the other stress hormones are the people. And your fight or flight response is the firing. Now, with all that being said, Mental Health Awareness Month, this month, August, I think it's important, I know there's another Mental Health Awareness Month. This one is one that we made in the Freedom Train Network for Black people. So with all that being said, I think that it's important that we talk about stress and stress management. And we just talked about stress a little bit. Now, I simplified a lot of things, but you should definitely go and look into stress more. But there are things that you can do to improve your stress management skills, your coping mechanisms, and the way you deal with stress. One of the more obvious is to learn how to relax. Practice deep breathing. Slow, deliberate breaths have been shown to have a positive effect on managing stress. Practice being mindful. Set a period of time, and during that time, consciously focus on whatever it is you're trying to focus on for that period of time. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. And it seems like the distracted, wandering mind is the natural state for our human minds, where we're naturally paying attention to multiple things and we're naturally getting sidetracked. And there might be some survival beneficial residual effects of that, wherein if you're in, say, the open savanna or whatever the case might be, and you get too focused on one thing, you could run into a scenario where you don't realize that a bad situation is upon you, and all of a sudden your face gets ripped off by a Tyrannosaurus Rex. But in the modern times, we don't have to worry about Tyrannosaurus Rex because they're extinct, unless Jurassic Park is real. So that whole mind being all over the place thing doesn't work out too well for managing stress. It doesn't work out too well for focusing on what we need to do and getting things done. So taking this time to focus and be mindful gives you practice at blocking out distractions and accomplishing what you need to accomplish. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And paying attention and being mindful are things that can help you indirectly with your stress management. Now, these are also, and your mind is going to wander. Let me say that. Your mind is most definitely going to wander. But the goal here is, if you're paying attention to it on a second-by-second basis, the moment it wanders, you can redirect. But as you do this, you'll be able to complete more time, more tasks in less time, which will reduce your stress load in various different ways. In addition to just allowing your mind to be more focused, a focused mind is a quiet mind. And a quiet mind is a mind that isn't necessarily undergoing a lot of stress at the moment. So you could also take the steps to get better sleep. Do what you can, get a better mattress, start going to bed at a regular time. You know, when you structure your life, your body is, your brain is a very pattern-oriented organ. When you develop those patterns, it settles into those patterns and you start to get more out of those patterns. So set a bedtime, go to bed, go to sleep, turn off all of your distractions when it's time for bed. Exercise regularly, have positive social interactions, and schedule a time to do absolutely nothing. And that's probably, for me, in my opinion, one of the most important things we could do in this society, is scheduling time to do absolutely nothing. Time where you are just sitting, laying, or standing, not watching a movie or reading a book or listening to anything or anything like that. You're just doing absolutely nothing. And again, I mentioned in previous iterations of human, the ones that came before us, this was a period of time that our bodies would utilize to reset, and we don't have that reset period anymore. Taking time to do absolutely nothing is fundamental to this concept we like to call balance. I know you've all heard of that concept. And what balance says is that things are only bad if they're not done in moderation, if they're overindulged. Not doing anything is only a bad thing if all you do is nothing. Consequently, working too much, which has become kind of like this all-seeing like stamp of wow, you're amazing in our society, is a bad thing. If that's all you do is work, if you don't take time out to relax, de-stress, and not do anything, you're still going to have problems. And that's why, again, all of these type A super successful people are high strung, die early, have heart attacks, have all kinds of circulatory issues, all kinds of cardiovascular issues. You can't go all the time. You need time to relax. I know I've harped on that enough, but take care of yourself. Monitor your stress. Talk to someone about your problems. Have fun. Enjoy life. Laugh. Relax. Stress is not a problem. Too much stress with no time to reset is. And while you can't do away with stress, because stress is the way our bodies respond to changes, you can give yourself time to reset after stressful events. And that is as important to mental health as anything else you will hear or that you can do for yourself. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is back, presenting these facts with a little of PLA on top of that. And in August on the Freedom Train Network, we talking mental health because it needs work. Everybody ready to move whenever their body hurt, but when their mind is broken, they don't even drink. I guess it's crazy to make sure that you're not, and that's why we talking about this here right now. And once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PaxInc through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Be sure to head to one of those places and leave us a review, and then be sure to head back to the website to let us know what you think about the show and communicate with us. Also, be sure to head to www.paxinc.org and show some love and support for our sponsors. PaxInc is doing big things in the community and trying to do more, always trying to do more. So be sure to head to the website. That's www.paxinc.org. Donate, volunteer, become a member, talk about it, whatever. They can use your support. And once again, they are doing great things in the community. As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the Black community. The things that we look at, whether it be on the Trending Tuesday or the regular Lessons from the Screen show, will always be looked at from the Black perspective. So keep that in mind, because we need more minds shaped into that perspective and trying to do things that we need done for ourselves. So with that in mind, again, thank you guys for listening in. Remember to tune in to the Freedom Train Radio. We have the app that's available that you can get from the website. It's in the Google Play Store. Sorry, it's not available on iTunes yet. We have the live internet radio, and we have more shows coming up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I will see you guys for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.